If you have your Bibles this evening, find, if you would, please, the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 will be our text tonight. Our text finds us in a very familiar passage of Scripture in the life of the Apostle Paul, and really and truthfully in the life of the book of Ephesians. For you find that in Acts chapter 20, verse number 17, Paul has called from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus, and has called the elders of the church. And Paul has, in verses 18, 19, 20, and throughout, going to instruct them and charge them. These are some farewell words that the Apostle Paul is giving to them. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 25, he says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." Paul knows he's not going to see these folks anymore. He goes on to say, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men rise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So he's encouraging and instructing these folks. Verse 31, "Therefore, watch." Now he's speaking to the pastors here. "Watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." In these last few verses here, Paul's defending himself just a little bit. "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said," and if you would read this out loud with me, please, "it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship." Paul is encouraging these folks. In the midst of his encouragement, in the midst of his instruction, he brings to them a truth that the Lord Jesus had given. It is this truth that the Lord has kind of laid on my heart to bring a challenge tonight and an encouragement to our church. And you find that in verse number 35, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you will find that Paul here is quoting the Lord Jesus when he makes that great statement, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, some things you may not know about this phrase. You've heard this phrase before. You know the impact it has in our lives. We're going to talk a little bit about it. You can search the whole scripture and you will find that this scripture is not recorded anywhere. This is an oral instruction that is given by the Lord. I don't know if the Apostle Paul heard this in the same way when he wrote about the table of the Lord. He said, "I have received of the Lord Jesus that which has happened." I'm not sure if this was an instruction that the Lord gave to the apostles and it just got passed down as a quote. But here the Apostle Paul speaking to these preachers, and he's encouraging them in the work that they're getting ready to do. He's encouraging them in the spiritual battle that they're getting ready to do. And he's reminding them that it is a very blessed position in life to give. And he says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. He knew that these people would be giving more than they would receiving. He had been giving more than what he had receiving. And so he was shoring them up and encouraging them to this great truth. And I think not only is this a truth for the man of God, but I think this is a truth for the people of God. And so I wanted to speak with you a little bit tonight on the blessing of giving and the blessing of receiving. I want you to notice in this quote that's from the Lord Jesus, what's not there. What's not in that quote is that there is no blessing to receive, or there's no blessing in receiving, or that in somehow receiving is somewhat shameful. He's not saying that. He's just saying in our lives that you will find, especially as a believer in the Lord, that it's more of a blessing to give than it is to receive. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to receive. And I'm blessed to receive. And so it kind of, unless you have an understanding of the nature of God, and unless you have an understanding of the Word of God, and to some degree, even those that don't, but very few people ever learned this concept of the more blessedness it is to give than it is to receive. I hope and pray that you are a person who's able to receive. You ever met somebody who won't receive your gift? Or you can never do anything for them? Or you can never give them anything? I would say this, that receiving needs to be something that you're gracious at, not good at. Gracious at. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes even as the pastor on behalf of the church, or sometimes personally, you'll try to give somebody something and they won't receive it. I hope you know how to graciously receive a gift. Jesus knew how to receive. He knew how to do it graciously. He knew how to do it tenderly. And if Jesus can receive, then we can receive. Receiving a gift demands humility. Rejecting a gift exposes pride. It does take humility to receive a gift. Nobody wants to be considered a pauper. Nobody wants to be considered a peasant. Nobody wants to be pitied per se. But understand this. If your brother or your sister in the Lord wants to give you something, you need to graciously know how to receive it. Why? Because they're probably giving it to you based on the principle of this verse, and they want a blessing. And they don't want you to stand in the way of their blessing. I had to learn this. I had to learn this personally. I had to learn this professionally. I've had to learn that there is a fine line between being a gracious receiver and being a sinful expecter or something like that. But Jesus is saying here, and he's told the apostles this, he said, now, fellas, listen, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But that does not negate receiving. This Christmas season, I hope you know how to receive a gift. Tell me you didn't tell anybody not to buy you anything. I don't receive gifts. I want to kind of distance myself from the reception part. I hope that's not true. That if you cannot receive a gift, then you have a pride problem. Okay. By the way, you received Jesus, didn't you? Okay. So there's a blessing to receiving. However, the Lord Jesus here was concentrated, and the Apostle Paul is concentrated on the act of giving. And I don't know about you, but it truly has been proven in my life, and I'm sure it's been proven in your life, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, why is giving such a blessing? And I'm not necessarily talking about giving in the offering. I'm talking about giving on a personal level. And right here, I'm talking about giving outside of the offering plate. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you gave someone a gift? When's the last time? Just kind of think about it. I know we have a very giving church. When's the last time that you saw an opportunity to be a blessing and you took that opportunity? When's the last time that God used you in somebody's life like that? Are you thinking? How many are thinking? Do this number for me. How many you've got a time when you did that? You can know and you have it right now. All right. Wonderful. Pastor, why is it such a blessing to give? Well, I got four things for you. I want you to write them down here. And I'm going to challenge you at the end. Number one, it's a blessing to give because giving is in the nature of God. Giving is in God's nature. God is a giver, and the people of God will find themselves with an inclination to give. It's hard to receive the nature of Christ and not receive the inclination to give. God, in his love for people, has the ability to see need. And when the Spirit of God is in you and the nature of God is in you and the Spirit of God is filling you and leading you, then you begin to see like God sees. And by the way, the Lord Jesus said, if you see your brother in need and you shut up your bowels of compassion, that's a sinful act on our part. I hope and pray that you're able to see need. And as a child of God, when you see need in someone's life, then that ought to affect our heart. Sometimes we're so focused on our own needs that we don't see the needs of others. I want to show you a verse. I hope I can find this verse. Just give me a minute. I think it's in the book of... I'm pretty sure Luke gave it. Hold one second. Come with me. Well, let's have a little fun. Find Luke. What chapter? I don't know yet. What verse? I know the verse. Lord, am I way off base here? No, I'm not. Luke chapter 6. Always makes me nervous when God takes over. Verse 35. Love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Verse 38, give, and it shall be, finish that please, given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now watch this. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So there is a promise in the act of giving that as I give, then God said that it will be given back. As the same measure that I meet with that, it will be measured out to me. One of the ways, if you are here tonight and you have immense need, and I don't know what that need would be. It could be anything from a relational need to a financial need to a health need to an employment need to whatever it is. I have found that if I can lift my eyes off of my need and I can, through the Lord Jesus, begin to look at others in need and begin to try to meet someone else's need, I usually find that the Lord ends up meeting my need. And so there are many times where, in my life especially, I'm thinking of an occasion there where I needed money. And so I gave somebody money that I didn't necessarily have, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, now listen, I saw this need. I think you moved on this need. I gave to this need. Now I have this need, and you need to meet my need. And the Lord has met that need. There were other times when it was different, but lifting my head and concentrating on somebody else's need or someone else through the eyes of Christ and meeting that need, you will find that God in turn will see your need, and many times God will meet that need. Why is giving such a blessing? Why does it feel so good? Because it's in the nature of God, and God's nature in you is to give. Many times God will the Spirit of God will prick me in a position of giving, and I've either got to quench the Spirit or I've got to submit to the Spirit. And I trust and pray that you will submit to the Spirit of God. Number two, not only is giving in is it in God's nature, but giving is it shows love. It equals love. It's motivated by love. We talked about this morning, walking in love. Why does giving have such a blessing to it? Because it's tied to love. And love is satisfying, and love is wonderful, and love is joyful. And the more that I grow in love, the more that I want to give. The more that I grow in love with my wife, the more I want to give to her. The more that I grow in love with my kids, the more I want to give. The more I grow in love with my church, the more I want to give of myself. The more I grow in love with the Lord, the more I want to give. And so the reason that giving is such a blessing is because it springs from a heart that's filled with love. Selfishness takes, love gives. And if I'm going to walk in love, as we learned this morning from the book of Ephesians, and we learn again here in this description as Paul's preaching to the leadership of those churches, giving is the result of love. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Number three, not only is giving in God's nature, not only is giving equal or stems from love, but giving reckons humility. It reckons humility. Humility is a powerful thing in our lives. Once I have humbled myself, once I've humbled myself to the Word of God, once I've humbled myself to the Spirit of God, once I've humbled myself to the truth of God, I have found that decisions in my life that are made on the platform of humility are usually stress-free. I'm going to say that again. Decisions in my life that are made from the platform of humility are usually stress-free decisions. Why? Because once I've been broken, and once I've humbled myself to whatever the Lord wants, really and truthfully, the battle's over at that point in time. And then the decisions that come, they're no longer having to force through my will. They're no longer having to force through my flesh. The decisions in the path that the Lord lays out for me is one that I welcome. And so one of the reasons that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive is usually that giving comes from a position of humility. It comes from a position of brokenness. It comes from a position of understanding that I really and truthfully am just a steward of all that God has blessed me with. So as I reckon the blessing of God upon my life, that ought to humble me. And as that humbles me, then I see need, then that ought to stir me to meet that need. And so any decision that's made from a humble position is a blessing. You've understood that in your life. You know what it is to fight the Lord. You know what it is to stand up and challenge the Lord. And then you know what it is to surrender to the Lord. And I have found that as I surrender to the Lord and peace fills my soul and humility is the platform from which I make these decisions from, it truly is a blessing. It's more blessed to give because giving is in the nature of God. It's more blessed to give than to receive because giving springs from a heart that's filled with God's love. It feels good to give. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Amen. Also reckons humility. Fourthly, it's just an awesome way to live. It's an awesome way to live. Go, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's back a little, or just a few books over from where we are in Acts chapter 20. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Let me read you some verses here. Verse number 6. I'm sorry, let's go with verse number 7. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what class? Cheerful giver. Once you have given cheerfully, you don't ever want to give any other way. Verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye have always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Verse number 10. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of, what's that word? Your righteousness. And so what is the Apostle Paul teaching here? The Apostle Paul is teaching this. If you have a heart to give, and you have a life of giving, and as you see a need and God moves you to meet that need, God will always provide in and through you to meet that need. And it's an awesome way to live, to be used by God, but it's also an awesome way to be used to be a blessing by God. And so it works this way. God unveils a need in front of me with someone. God stirs within my heart to give. Immediately I begin to look at, you know, my resources. God, what would you have me to do? What exactly would this? But I know this, if I'm stirred by the Lord to meet that need, and I in turn am able to bless them, then God will in turn make sure that I have that to give. And so God's never going to send you out to meet somebody's need on your own. Listen very carefully to me. In a very crude way, we work for God. Okay, so who in here travels for your business? Who in here travels for your business? So when you travel for a business, they give you a stipend. They give you a meal plan. They usually take care of where you're going to stay. They provide your car. They provide dinner. They provide casino, whatever it is you do at your job. I'm just kidding. But a business sends a man out, not on his own wage. Not on his own wage. And God doesn't send his child out on his own wage. And so I have learned that in giving and meeting other people's needs as an ambassador for Christ, as God sends me out, then God always makes sure that I have that provision that God wants me to give. Now, that could be on a minuscule level. It could be on a micro, on a macro level. It could be on a financial level. It could be on different levels. But if God is in the midst of opening our eyes to see need, then God's going to provide for that. And my friends, it is awesome to enjoy the moment that God uses you. To sit there and to think, wait a minute, God just used me to be a blessing. And then on top of that, it's awesome to watch God as I'm serving him and being a blessing for him. It's awesome to watch God meet my needs and take care of me. And so it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving is in the nature of God. Giving is evidence of God's love in our heart. Giving reckons humility, and it comes from a humble position. It comes from a broken position. It comes from an empty position. It comes from a position as I reckon myself as a steward of what God has done. It comes from a position that I desire to be a blessing. But giving is also an awesome way to live, to be involved in the lives of people. All right, with those four points, I promised you an experiment this morning, and so here is my experiment for you. I'm asking you to, outside of our church, not within our church, outside of our church, I'm asking you to ask God to allow you to be a blessing to someone and to give in some manner. I'm asking you to ask God to open up your eyes and to let you see a need, whether that need is somebody needing their house cleaned. I said outside of our church, didn't I? Or somebody need their house cleaned, whether somebody needs a meal, whether somebody needs a visit, whether somebody needs an encouragement, whether somebody needs a gift card, whether somebody needs money. God, just show me somewhere where I can give and not receive. Second experiment. If you have children, I would somehow find in this Christmas season an opportunity for my kids to give. Find a way for your kid to give. Find a way to direct that kid to give a toy to somebody that doesn't have a toy. Direct that kid to give something to somebody that doesn't have anything. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's somebody at school. Somehow, give your kid $5 and say, somewhere I want you to give this $5 to somebody who needs it. Instruct them. Teach them how to give. Teach them the blessing of that. 'Tis the season to give. 'Tis the season to be blessed. There is a blessing to receiving, but it is more blessed to give. And so ask God to do that. It's His nature. It'll reflect His love. It'll come from your humility. And it is an awesome, awesome way to live. And then once you've done that, I'm excited to hear the good testimonies about what God does in your life. All right, let's have our prayer. We'll be done.